and permanently placed in the Bible in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. Now this is the sentence that I'd like you to take note of. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Now back to verse 5. Ye know that he, that's Christ, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him was no sin. Now over the page to the next chapter, in chapter 4 and verse 9. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Now down to verse 14. And we have seen and do testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Now, being my first time to be here on this platform, I thought that maybe for a few minutes at the beginning of this gospel that I might tell you how I got saved. I was brought up on a farm just outside of a city called Sarnia in Ontario. And my father came from England and married a farm girl there. And they were married 5 years. And they became greatly concerned about the question that I hope concerns you and has brought you here tonight. It's the question of your soul's salvation. And they began to talk between themselves, and they said, if there's a heaven to go to, we don't know whether we're going or not. And if there's a hell, we don't know whether we're going in or not either. And they actually asked the minister of them, and they asked a man named Mr. Rhodes, if he knew, could a man be sure that he was going to be in heaven when he died? And the man said he thought some knew, but he didn't know. And my father was quite angry at that statement. He said, you mean to say that we tell you, pay you our good money to tell us how to go to heaven, and you don't know yourself? How can you tell us if you don't know yourself? And so, but the man kept coming to visit them, but there was a man named Bob Sisson came to work for my father, a man that had been in the British Army. And it was Depression days, and the man came to work for his board. And some of you folks here know this man's wife. He later married a girl named Ruth Wilson, who later became Mrs. Cecil Cox. Well, this man, Wilson, and my father got speaking over this same thing again, this great question. And I hope it assails you tonight. It assailed me, the question of going to heaven or hell. And here's a man, a real religious man, a very ungodly man. And there, Mr. Sisson said to my dad, he said, I got caught in a snowstorm one night, and he said that we had to put our horses in a livery barn, and we all went into a store and gathered there because we couldn't go any farther. And he said, a man there got up and told us all how God saved me. He said, the only time I ever heard it in my life. So Bob Sisson took off with a horse down there 75 miles to Tilsonburg, a man named Garner, to find the way to heaven for my dad. My, I'm going to tell you, I would love to have met that man. A man traveling 75 miles to try to find out this great question. You know, when he came back to my dad, he said, you know, he said, I not only found out, he said, but I am saved. I am going to heaven. Well, my dad was so angry, he wouldn't talk to me. Did you mean to say, he said, a wicked man like you that's done every sin in the book, and me, I've never done anything like that. You mean to say you're going to heaven and I'm not? My, he was very angry. The man named David Oliver came and rented the schoolhouse there. And he got my mother and dad to go. All right. My dad was so angry the first time he heard he must be born again, he couldn't find the latch to get out of the school. My self-righteousness is an awful thing. That's the reason why I went to visit a man. He's 92 years old and self-righteous as can be. You know what? One of these days he's going to step off the end of the road in his sins and has great trust in God but no faith in Christ. I want to tell you tonight, let me tell you, faith in Christ is the only thing that will save your soul. Well, you know, it wasn't very long. My mother got saved. My dad, too. And in that family was born 11 children. whole gang of us. And I was second from the bottom. And I love fun. And we had perhaps I was going to, and I still do. You know what? Maybe that was my downfall, but I always had this in my mind. Because, you know, when my dad got saved, it became a reality with him. He used to, every single morning, the whole 11 of us around the table, he got the Bible out and read a chapter, and then he got to fall down on our hands and knees. He prayed that God would save us from hell. I remember one of the statements he made. He said, I would sooner, my boys and girls, he said, had nothing in this world and had God's salvation, but they were the poorest farmers on the road. Well, you know, when he lived this, they all got saved. And I'm one of them. As a result of that man's faith. Something like what the scripture says about Moses. It says, by faith, Moses perished. Or by faith, my parents taught me God's salvation and made me understand that it was a real thing to be saved. And I hope that you understand it is such a thing. Well, a man named Mr. Joyce came along there, and I was a young fella, the gospel man. And I liked that man. I remember how he preached. One night on a Tuesday night, on January the 14th, 1941, now that's a long time ago. And I remember preaching so well that night, and I thought he was preaching just for me. And I began to listen all for myself. And you know, I got a desire in my soul that night. I said, if there's salvation for me, I want it tonight. I desired it with all my soul. And I went outside and I went right by all the boys, all the girls, over to the cup. When I got home, the man got this, Mr. Joyce come home, and of course he stayed with us. He tried to point me to Christ, but I knew all the scriptures he read. And he said, well, he said, if the scriptures can't help you, I can. He left. Mind what I tell you? It was an awful dark time. There I was. I thought, well, if he can't save me, there isn't anybody else to preach like he can. There isn't anybody else who knows his Bible like he does. What am I going to do? And you know, he got the Bible over to Romans 10 and 9. I just happened to glance down at it. And I noticed the last part of it. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And I thought, I believe that. And look at what it says. Thou shalt be saved. And you know, I understood for the first time why God promises me salvation through Christ's death. Why, you know that night, as a little young fellow, almost 15 years old, I got eternal life. I trusted the Savior. You know, it was good then. It's been good through the years. It's 47 years ago. You know, 47 years on the road to heaven. And it won't take another 47 to put me there. My every day that becomes more precious, this salvation. And tonight, why I've read three scriptures with you, very simple ones. And in this first verse, we read that he was manifested what for? To destroy the works of the devil. You know, Eisenhower in the last war, when it looked like everything was against us, when the whole world was trembling, you might say, under the power of Germany, and everybody was afraid of what was going to happen. Eisenhower said, you know, he said, to have a true valuation of the power of the enemy is to win the war. My tonight, I want to tell you, this is the same thing here tonight. Whether you understand it or not, this is what Christ was manifested for, to destroy the works of the devil. And tell me, what is the works of the devil tonight? You know what it is? In straight, plain language, the devil wants you to have. The devil wants to see you to lose your soul. And that's why tonight in this world, the devil, the scripture says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, about verse 3 and 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine in. You know what I think? He's blind of the mind. And he's the enemy of every person. And his great object is to keep them from getting God's salvation. Now, how's it go about this? And mind you tonight, his tactics have never changed. And you know what his great work is? The work of deception.
You know, the first place, this is just exactly what he did in the garden. He deceived our forebears. And you know, tonight, whether you understand it or not in this meeting, you're not saved, you're deceived. And you're deceived in a number of ways. You see, in Psalm 90 it says, so teach us to number to apply our hearts to wisdom. So teach us to number our days and to apply our hearts to wisdom. And there's none of you here tonight, not likely, listening to this gospel that I'm preaching to you tonight and telling you the way of salvation, and you're listening like if this was going to be your last night. But really, that's what the scripture would teach us, that we, if we're going to apply our hearts to wisdom and listen the way we should to the gospel, we should listen like it was the last time we're going to listen to it, and I should preach it like it was the last time you're going to hear it. You say, well, why do you preach like that? You know why it is? Because I'm not really a preaching man very much. I'm a farmer in Ontario, but I have preached the last time to a number of people. The last time. And I look down on their faces just the way I'm looking down on your face tonight. With a longing desire to be saved. I remember one night I preached on a verse that he that hath the Son hath life. And that's all I preached. Remember the dear young man sitting in the front seat, almost down about where this man sitting, a man named Jim Harvey. And he was a little deaf. And after the meeting, I said to Jim, I said, well, Jim, what does it mean to you? And I always remember what he said. He said, half means God. The next day, Monday morning, his mother called me. She said, Chad, she said, Jim just died this morning. Right now, he's sitting beside me on the couch. In his bedroom, he stuck a little verse in the mirror. And it said, it isn't enough for me that Jesus died and rose again for me. Dear Jim, that simple for the soul, what was it? He listened the last time to the message. And he said, half means God. Why tonight I hope you're listening like it's your last opportunity. The scripture says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I don't know whether you realize it or not. But this is why this is the work of the devil, is to blind you to the urgency of the message. I read a little while ago that a real true preacher of the gospel, the greatest app that he has is to have a true apprehension of the terrible calamity of a man losing his soul for eternity. And tonight I hope that you get a true apprehension of what it would mean for you to lose your soul. For if you get a true apprehension of what it means to be lost forever, outside of God's law, you know what? I'll be long in the It says, remember my verse, I want you to go away with ringing in your ears tonight. So you lay on your pillow tonight, for this, that the Son that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And I want you to understand that there's a trap laid for you. It says in Proverbs chapter 2, I believe it is, in vain is the snare set as the net set in the sight of any bird. You see tonight, what has happened to you is you've been deceived and blinded. And you think that all is well and all is wrong. And I was thinking the other day that, you know, you might see that the whole world is geared not to give you 5 minutes time to stop and think for yourself. And you just think, if it isn't the radio, it's the television. If it isn't the television, it's the newspaper. If it isn't the newspaper, it's the family. And if it isn't the family, it's what the family wants to do. Always keep the man with mind employed. Don't give him time to stop with this. Tell me, would you take 5 minutes this week to think about your soul? 5 years out of the 168 hours of the whole week to think about where your soul is. And I'll likely soul that none of you gave them that. You're not saved. You know why it is? The enemy's being successful. The enemy is being successful in tearing you down the Broadway, and it's going to make you lose your soul for eternity. You say, why would you preach like this? You know why? I taught Sunday school for years and years. And I had a Sunday school class of about 10 boys. And I loved those boys like they were my own. And many times, I taught those boys in tears. I remember one Sunday, especially one Sunday afternoon, with them all gathered around. There's boys. There's nothing I like what better than a boy about 12, 14 years old. Full of life, full of vigor, full of fun. And I remember I told him, I said, look, boys, if you don't get this God's salvation, likely you'll never reach 21 years old. You do know something? Four of those boys never reached 21 years old, and another one that actually never came to Sunday school that I had contact with never did either, and they all died violent. What happened?
Well, they were deceived by the enemy.
There's an enemy. I'm going to tell you, this enemy's been used the same tactics for a long time. What did he do? He was winning. We were having some meetings just lately in Windsor. I was with my boy there. I had to take the place of another man. There was a man, a young man, 23 years old, coming there named Bob Fletcher. And Bob said, going out of the meeting to me, well, I'm going to get saved. I mean, your chances are awful slim.
Hey, what do you mean?
Well, it's just, there's hardly any getting saved. I said, the chances you getting saved are very slim. I said, do you think it'd be 1 in 10? Oh, yeah, I wouldn't want to think that.
Well, do you realize tonight that the chances of you getting saved are very slim?
That's why when the man came to the Lord Jesus in Luke chapter 13, you remember what he said? Lord, are there few to be saved? The Lord said, strive to enter into the straight gate. For many, I said, you will seek to enter in and shall not be able. What's he pointing out to?
He's pointing out, look, there's many going to miss it. But really, that's not the question at all. You make sure you get it.
Why, what's it for? The Lord Jesus was manifested, what for? To destroy the works of the devil. And apart from this destroying works of the devil, you'll never get saved. Now then, the next verse says, and ye know that he was manifested what for? To take away our sins. Well, I wonder if you've got any realization of your sins. Of your sins. I want to tell you it's your sin that stands between you and God in heaven. I want to tell you again, if you ever stop to consider that God would sooner let a whole world go to hell than let one sin into heaven? Tell me, friend, where are you going to go? People today got a very, very light idea of what sin is. And I want to point out to you tonight, your sin is against God. And what is sin? I took a Sunday school class one time and I asked a girl this. I asked the whole class. You know, I could hardly get an answer. And I asked some of the older folks, too. They hardly get an answer either. Until a little girl, she looked up in the back of a Bible, a concordance in the back of a Bible, shot up her hand and she said, sin is a willful transgression of God's law. I said, you're so right. Sin. So sin is against God because you broke, God gave the law and you broke it. And sin has shut you out of heaven. I took a Sunday school class a while back and I looked up 5 words in the Bible to describe what sin is. And they all start with you. And it makes a pretty good Sunday school class. Unclean. And I asked the children what each one of these words meant. Unclean means you're dirty. And that's Isaiah. Remember, it says we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are filthy rags. Then again, in Romans chapter 3, you remember it says we're unprofitable. And to explain that, you have to say, well, what's unprofitable? Well, you know as well as I do that when you clean your garage out, you generally, if you have the children with you, you say, well, keep that, that's value. And you look at another thing, you say, well, that's of no value, throw it out. And see, it makes a very good explanation of what sin does. You know what sin has done? Sin has made you of absolutely no value to God. No value to God. There isn't a thing about you that's of value to Him. Across from me, about a mile from my home, not even that, is a great big jump. because trucks go by every day.
You know what it is? They're carrying all of that that's no bad.
I want to tell you, God's going to create
garbage dump.
For all sinners, there are no bad in there.
You know what?
So, my friend, and you know what it's called?
It's called hell.
Sin makes men of no value to God.
Now again, further, it says they're ungodly. Ungodly.
Or godless.
Without God. And again, it says they're unrighteous. And if you're not right, you're all wrong.
And I want to tell you, Nate, if you're not saved, you're all wrong with God.
You have no right, no claims with God. None whatever. You're all wrong.
And then again, it says you're unjust.
Hey, Bible. I took a young couple to a gospel meeting one night. I used those very words, and I spoke the whole meeting on them. And I remember the girl come out after, and they'd never heard the gospel before. And they were both, well, she was a Greek Catholic, and he was an ordinary Catholic, neither one of them were really anything, they told me. And I met these people, and they became very friendly to me, and they invited me to their wedding and everything else. And then I took them to a gospel meeting, and after I spoke like that, when they got in the car, and I remember her saying, she said, yeah. She said, are we really that? Are we really that? You see what's wrong tonight? The God of this world is blind of the mind. But when you begin to see what you are, revealed by the scriptures, you know what he'll say? Thank God he was revealed to take away our sins. Why tonight I want to say, oh, we grip this great fact that he was manifested what for? Take away us. To take away that which bars us from heaven. And the Bible says in 2 Peter, whose own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. And this is what he came for. What for? To take away that which bars you from heaven. To take away that which shuts heaven's door and opens it. And to give you eternal life.
What a salvation.
He was manifested for this very purpose. I suppose that this is the last thing you like to think about is your sin. And if the last thing a man wants is really the truth. I remember back many years ago, I was in Rochester, Minnesota, with a brother that I liked best. That man had cancer at 40, in all 45, and he had 10 children. I was sitting in his room there because he was alone there, and I'd been there all week. I tell you, it's quite an experience to be in a city where you know no one, and to live in a hotel, and to get out in the morning and see John. Go back and have your dinner, go back and see him again, and go back at night again. And the man was in real agony and so sick. And I remember that morning, in came this man, a doctor, Martel. It was said that he had seen more cancer patients than any other man in the world. He had 5 other doctors. He came to my brother. His wife Alma was there, and I was there, and Paul was there. He looked him over, and there was a big smile. He said, John, as far as medical science is concerned, there's no hope. You could have heard a pin drop in that room. What's wrong? No hope. I want to tell you tonight, apart from this gospel that we're preaching, and apart from why Christ was manifest in this world to be the Savior of the world, there's absolutely no hope for you. And no hope for me. So, the next morning I was back in there again, and here's John. Dying. And he said, Chad, he said, all night long, he said, there's been a verse going through my mind, I don't know where it is. He says that in a verse somewhere in the Bible, he says it says that God wants to be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Oh, I said, John, that's easy. That's Romans 3. By the very same book, the chapter that says we're unprofitable and no use to God, it says that he might be just and the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. Do you know any better message than this? It's vital. You know, I've been wrestling in this for 47 years. I joy in the great fact that he was manifest. And what for? Take away this hell of sins.
You know, everybody that's got this, you might say, they feel sorry for those who haven't got it.
That's what compels us to go around and speak to people about it. Why, it'd be almost criminal, wouldn't it, to see a blind man approaching a cliff and not go and get a hold of him and say, stop, man. There's danger ahead. Well, that's just about the condition tonight. You're marching on with your sins, and you're going to perish eternally. And we're here tonight with a message that can save your soul for heaven. What was it? It says that Christ was manifest in the world to take away our sins. You know, in the last scripture we read together, we read there of what sin does. It says there that we might live through Him. You see, and the opposite to living in Him is to be dead in Him, dead in sins. And Ephesians chapter 2 is probably the worst description there is of a man in his sin, dead. A dead man is no use to God. Tonight I want to tell you, as far as as God is concerned, you're just a dead corpse. I read a while ago that sin has made this world like one huge graveyard. And the only way out is death. You know that? Stay with me for days. And I moved among these men and I thought, oh, the graveyard. Men all around me going to heaven. Men all around me with their eyes blinded. And the great remedy is there. Nobody seems to have. And nobody wants. Why tonight could I let stir your soul tonight? That He was manifested what for? To destroy the works of the devil. That He was manifested to take away your sins. And He was manifested that you might start to live through Him. My, what a message. If you don't live through Him, you'll be eternally dead. You'll die eternally. And you'll perish eternally? I wonder what you're going to do tonight with this great message of the gospel. See, it's set before you again and again, and I don't know, no doubt this isn't the first time you've heard it. But what has happened? You know what's happened? You fail to realize the urgency of the matter. I preached quite a bit with a man named Jim Martin. He told a story one night of a man in London, England. That he went to hell and never intended to be there. This man was a lawyer, an educated man. He had another brother who was a lawyer too. And the man didn't go to work the next day. And when his brother came to see him, he said, what's wrong with you? Well, he said, you know what? By being that I died and I went to hell. Oh, he said, don't be so silly. He said, that'll never happen to you. Oh, yes, he said, look. He said, that dream is so real to me that I want a Bible. My man laughed at him, but the man got hold of a Bible. You see what happened? You know what happened to your man? He got called salvation. You see, and I'm afraid tonight, you know what's going to happen? You're going to land on the wrong side and never again. You see, you might say that when people are faced with this great matter, when you go in your Bible, you'll see different men that were faced with this great matter when the Lord was here. And He put His finger right on the very thing that was keeping Him from this. You remember the ruler, the rich young ruler that came to the Lord Jesus. He said, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? That says he came running. And he kneeled down. He said this, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord just put His finger on, go and sell what thou hast, come and follow me. You know what happened? The man, in everyday language of today, you know what he said? He blew it. The Bible says he did great professions, and he went away sorrowful. You take Naaman in the Old Testament, the picture of a self-righteous man. Am I here? He hears the message. There's a remedy in Samaria. Little man said, would to God that name my Lord was with the prophet of Samaria, and he would heal him of his leprosy. Why, the man's greatly concerned what's wrong with him. But I'm going to tell you, when the prophet says, go dip yourself 7 times in Jordan. Oh, What do you think is this?
Is he going to do it the right way?
You know what happened?
I see the man was going to blow it. Why?
Because he was being stripped of all that he thought he was. This was so simple to come this way right now. This man has to take everything off. This man's being stripped of everything.
And I don't wonder if you're... That's what's wrong with you. You need to be stripped. You see, really, we... All of us alike, we really judge ourselves as to what we are by society that we're in, by the position we hold, by the money we have, the street we live on, or our status in the school or in the college where we are. Why, we don't judge ourselves by that. But tonight, let's strip ourselves of everything. Like Naaman, getting all this off. His big coat of colors, all his achievements, take it all off. And why tonight you're stripped in this gospel meeting of everything that you think you are? And we bring you into the mirror of this book. And into the presence of God. What are you? What are you? I'm going to tell you, there's nothing more than a whole bunch of us together. Nothing more than sinners. Some of us saved by grace. Some of us not. Stripped. You know, we get a pretty good idea of ourselves. Oh my, this is a very lovely thing, this gospel. It brings you down to the very bottom of it. It says, without it, it says that in while we were yet without, in that while we were yet without strength, in due time,
what?
Christ died for your life. What level do you bring yourself in on? You gotta come in on the bottom line or you're not coming in at all. See, if you're not guilty, if you're not guilty, you don't need to be justified. If you're not lost, you don't need to be found. If you're not without Christ, or without a Savior, you don't need a Savior. This last verse that we read. That God sent His Son into the world, what for? To be the Savior of the world. To deliver you from the penalty of sin. And so my listening, why there's a salvation tonight? It can be your thing. But I want to tell you can only have it on one ground. And on one plea. That you're the ungodly, that you are the sinner, that Christ died to save. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying, and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And to save you tonight. Tonight is, do you realize that tonight you need to be saved worse than you ever did? And you realize tonight that you may be nearer losing your soul than you ever were. This is what Christ was manifest for. What for?
Take away your sins.
He was manifested what for? To destroy the works of the devil. He was manifested that you might live through Him. And He was manifested what for? That He might be your Savior. Tell me, if you lose your soul, will you ever be able to blame God? There won't be a man that'll ever be able to raise his accusing finger. Point to God's throne and say that there wasn't salvation for him. Tonight, you as an individual in this very gospel meeting can have the eternal life through faith in Christ. Come to Christ and God will save you. He'll save you for eternity and make you happy and you'll begin to live this new life. I want to tell you, it's not a drudgery. It's a happy life to live. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we thank Thee for the gospel. We thank Thee for the one who is the center of it, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee He's made provision for mankind in His own death on the cross. When He shed that precious blood, the unclean can be cleansed. The unprofitable can be made profitable. The unjust can be justified, and blessed, and the unrighteous can be made righteous. Oh God, we pray Thee to work this work tonight. Grant that someone might see that it's more than just the voice of the preacher, that it's the very words of God back home with the Spirit of God. And they have God to deal with, and they must answer to God, not to us.
And they'll be practically all complete strangers to us. But we thank thee it's the same message to all, and there are no strangers with thee. We pray thee to speak to them. Lord, we love to see some enjoying the same salvation as we enjoy. Surely there's no hope apart from this hope. There's no salvation apart from Christ. Lord, we would look to thee. Thank thee for such a gospel, for the privilege of preaching it, and the years that we've enjoyed ourselves. We thank thee for it. Pray thy blessing on thy word now in the name of the Lord Jesus.
Amen. I sing a couple of three verses of 333.